This good morning that you've given us to know you, to hear your voice, to be taught by you, to be covered by you, O God, and we do not take it for granted. We know that, Lord, you've gathered us and you've never gathered your children in vain, that indeed there's always something that you want us to understand, something that you want to teach us, and I pray that today that you shall teach us. And just to link up with yesterday, we started looking at everyone should exercise their gifts according to the measure of faith that God has given us, in that there is a proportion of faith that God has allocated us, and this we learned from the book of Romans. And this was in the Romans chapter 12, where we initially linked it up with in view of God's mercies, considering what God has done in our lives, then what are we to do? We are to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to the Lord, which is a reasonable service, and we should not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but rather we need to be transformed and to be conformed, rather being transformed by the renewal of our mind, that we may be able to prove that which is good, pleasing, perfect will of God. And it says that in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, that for I say through the grace and given unto me, that to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to, but rather to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. And that measure of faith. So Paul was telling people that he could be able to administer what he was doing according to the measure of faith that he had been given, according to the grace. And remember, we've talked about grace here not as an excuse for sin, but as an enabler to do labor for God. So when you're saying you're under the grace, that means you have an engine, you have an extra engine, you have turbo under your wings, and you're able to do even more than those of the old covenant. You're able to do even more than those who are under the law. And that means that it is expected of us to do more than even what was demanded of the law. So grace does not excuse us from our responsibilities. Grace does not excuse us indeed that we can live any careless lives or a license for sin, but grace gives us the power to overcome sin. It gives us the power to hear the voice of God. It gives us the power to fulfill his covenant. And so let us be sensitive to know that grace is enabling grace. So there is saving grace, which is the work of Christ, which no man can boast for. That it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourself that anyone can boast, but it is the gift of God. So salvation is a gift of God, and that grace of God that gives us salvation, which is a saving grace, is a gift of God. But there is also the divine enablement of God, which is the grace that works in us, that labors, helps us to labor for the gospel. And that's why Paul says that it was not I that labored, that the grace that was at work in me, the grace that was given to me was not in vain, and he used it. And one thing you need to know about grace is that when you're given enabling grace, when God gives you and you use it, then you get more. You get more. It's just a principle of use and disuse. If you don't use the grace that God has given you, then you don't experience more. It is their gifts, yes, but then if you don't use your gifts, if you don't exercise your gifts, then you lose the sharpness of your gift. You might still have it latent, but you will not be as sharp as you expected to be. But any man that uses their gift, that exercises their gift, redraws from that grace more and more. They are unsearchable riches of Christ. They are abundant riches of Christ that are available for the believer. Now, it is just for us to dig deeper. It is just for us to ask him. It's just for us to go into him and ask of him. So what I want to tell us this morning, that grace is available for you and me, but it is just us to dig deeper into it and to ask of it and to draw from him. When we draw from him, then we receive that grace. Yeah, so I just want to just remind us of that. And indeed, we looked at the various aspects of the measure of faith, And he said that, I mean, from verse 8 of Romans chapter 12, having then gifts that differ according to the grace that is given to us. That means each of us have unique gifts that God has given us. There are those, some who are to prophesy. If your gift is prophecy, prophesy according to the proportion of faith, according to the measure of faith that God has given you. If your gift is ministry or service to others, serve. If your gift is teaching, then teach. If your gift is encouraging, then encourage others. If your gift is giving, then do it with simplicity, do it generously. If your gift is leadership, then lead with diligence, rule with diligence. And if it is showing mercy, show mercy with cheerfulness. And you see, so, and the governance, and that's why we read in verse 9, let love be without, you know, without pretense. Do not just pretend to love one another, but really love them. Hate what is evil and cleave to that which is good. Be kind, be affectionate to one another. So of the gifts that we've been given, and we are asked to exercise them according to the measure of faith that God has given us, according to the proportion of faith that God has given us, we need therefore to use them and to administer them according to love. So today I want us to pick it from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we are going to focus on starting to understand spiritual gifts. And this channel is called Spirit and Life. I welcome you to join in, to subscribe, follow us on Facebook, follow us on YouTube, and I know that it shall be a blessing to you. And please share. Anytime you share, it helps a message to get someone who needs it. And yeah, if in case you know there's someone who needs this message, please share it with them. You can share with them on WhatsApp, on whatever channel. So God bless you as you do that. And that is all I would ask of you. Thank you. And so let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let me just adjust something shortly here. I want to adjust. Yes. Okay, good. So it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. Verse 2, you know that when you were Gentiles, you were carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administration, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all this worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, and so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, have been made all to drink into the same Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God has set the members, every one of them in the body as it has pleased him. And if all were one member, where were the body? But now there are many members, but yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again can the head say to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these he shall bestow more honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. And on, it says, if one part of the body suffers, then we all suffer. I want to stop there, but I will allow you to take time to read 1 Corinthians 12. And I just wanted us to pick some key things that are coming out from this scripture. Now, one thing you have to realize that Paul was writing to the Corinthian church in response to some questions they had sent him. Remember, the Corinthian church were babies in that they had not grown maturely, but yet they were gifted with various spiritual gifts. They could prophesy, they could speak in tongues, there was disorder in the church. But you see the challenge with the Corinthian church in that they exercised their various gifts, but they did not exercise it in love. They did not know the limits of exercising of their gifts, and they were using it as a marker of holiness or a marker of their righteousness. But you see, what thing we learn about God, a gift is something that someone did not earn. A gift is something that is given by the Holy Spirit, by his own will. He chooses whom he gives, and it is the Holy Spirit that determines what giftings he gives to every individual. He gives them severally to all. He gives them willingly to all, just as he determines. So there is no one who chooses or who can choose what gift that God gives them. No one has that capacity to choose. So you cannot choose to be an apostle, or you cannot choose to be a prophet, or you cannot choose to be an evangelist. You know, you cannot have that choice of what gift that God gives you. Now, that does not mean that you cannot work as an evangelist, you cannot work as a pastor, you cannot without the gifting. Yes, you can do that, but you will not see the extra grace that God has given you in that place. Now, if you look among your brethren in the church, there are those who effortlessly win souls. Yes, we are all called to win souls, but there are those who are given the extra grace to stand, the extra grace to deliver a message of God, the extra grace to convince sinners and to turn them to righteousness. And it serves any church well to rally around such people and support them and work with them in the work of evangelism. Because when God has called us to reach out to souls, he gives us special people, he gives us unique people who are given unique gifts, who are able to demonstrate this dimension of God in a special way. So one thing that we see, it says now concerning spiritual, and the gift there is added for understanding. So they wanted to understand the spiritual world. They wanted to understand the things that are of the Spirit. And gifts is one of the things of the Spirit. So it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. Now that tells us that it is possible to be ignorant of the spiritual world. And sadly, many Christians are ignorant of the spiritual world. Many Christians take care of their bodies. That is fine. They go to the gym, they eat well, they dress well, they are concerned, they bathe, they make sure they are clean. But then, apart from that, many Christians or many people in the world also take care of their mind. They go to school, they get the PhDs, they get the various schools, the right schools, they're learning, they're constantly improving. But then you find that many people neglect the third part of their body, of who they are, is that their spirit. And you find that they are neglecting their spiritual life, so they fall prey to those that are exercising their spirituality. In that, if you no matter the level of your PhDs or degrees, When you encounter a witch doctor, they will rule over you because they are exercising their spiritual capacity that is greater than you, that is ignorant of your spiritual capacity. Now you see, as a Christian, there is a grace that God gives us, there's an ability, there is a potential, there is power that God has given us in our spirit man as Christians, but yet if we are ignorant of it, then we shall fall prey to the snares, to the wiles of the devil, we shall fall prey to his devices, we shall be convinced by him that we can be attacked, we shall be convinced by him that we can suffer loss, and there are many things that the devil can place on us because of our ignorance. So it is very impertinent, it is impertinent that and important that each of us be conversant with our spiritual life, be conversant with the things that are available in Christ, with the things that Christ has freely given us by his Spirit, and based on that we need to be sensitive, we need to be constant in knowing the things that God has given us, and we have no excuse to be ignorant. I assure you, if you're ignorant, you will suffer and you will pay the price of the ignorant. There is a price that the ignorant pay. When you go to buy things in the market and you appear like you do not know the price, you can be sold something that is 5 times the price, and that is because you are ignorant. And anyone who goes to shops, like for me, I personally prefer going to shops that have price tags, because at least the price tag gives me an estimate of the price, of the value of the item, because if I go to a place where there is no price tag, and by virtue of me either being a foreigner or me not communicating the language well, then I will be given a price that is not right, and in that case I will pay the price of the ignorant. So in the spiritual things, if we are ignorant, then we pay the price of the ignorant. The devil can drop on you a sickness, he can bring for you cancer, and if you don't know the healing that is available for you in the cross of Calvary, in the blood of Jesus, that Jesus already paid by his stripes, you are healed, that healing was already paid for you, and it is already done, it is for you to receive it and thank God for him and wake up out of that sick bed and start speaking and speaking life to your situation, speaking life against your sickness and thanking God for your healing, then you shall stay sick and then you shall pay the price for your ignorance. So ignorance is very costly. Even if you meet the traffic policeman and you say you do not know, they will be very happy because they have found someone who is ignorant. So ignorance does not excuse us from the law. It does not excuse us from suffering the effects of our ignorance. So Paul was teaching the Corinthian church that, I tell you, brothers, I will not have you ignorant. As an apostle, as a teacher, I do not want you to be ignorant, and you shall not be ignorant concerning the things of the Spirit. Please ensure that you learn the things of the Spirit, that you go through the school of the Spirit, that you are able to taught, you are able to be taught by the Spirit to understand. That is why I welcome you here, that you shall be able to taught, to be taught the things of the Spirit, and you shall understand. Verse 2 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he tells them that you know that you are Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols as you are led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. Now, remember that he was reminding the Gentiles that I remind you that when you are Gentiles, when you are in ignorance, you are carried away by idols and you are, you know, doing mumblings, incantations and funny things that were in opposition to God. But you see, he's telling them that first of all, when you're speaking by the Spirit of God, when you're speaking in tongues, and there is a teaching that we've done on speaking in tongues, in which I believe, and praying in tongues and being filled with the Spirit, there's a whole series of teachings that we have on the channel. Please just search it out on Facebook or on YouTube. You'll be able to find this, or even on Telegram, you'll be able to find this. And we have been understanding that speaking in tongues is direct communication to God. It is a language that you're speaking to your Father. Only your Father understands it. The angels don't understand it, but you communicate directly to God. The demons have no understanding of your speaking in tongues, but it is a place where we speak in tongues and we pray in tongues in a language that God only understands, and we pray directly to our Father. Our mind may be unfruitful, but in the spirit we are speaking mysteries unto God. And what God is telling us, that anyone who is speaking in tongues, anyone who is speaking by the Spirit, cannot say Jesus be cursed. So that means there is no one who comes and is speaking of God will come and speak against Christ. If you find someone that is speaking against Jesus, against Christ, then you know that this person is not speaking by the Spirit of God. He's not speaking by the Spirit of God, because any spirit that denies that Jesus came in the flesh and that he is God, then that spirit is a spirit of the Antichrist. So I want you to be understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God can say Jesus be cursed. So let us be certain that when we speak in tongues, all we are doing is that we are praising God and we are giving glory to God. And what we are taught is that when you speak in tongues or when you pray in tongues, ask God to give you the interpretation so that you shall be able to understand. And remember, there's a difference between interpretation and translation. Translation is word for word, verbatim. But interpretation is meaning of what you have spoken. So what God gives you when you speak in tongues and when you ask God for interpretation is not translation, but what God gives you is meaning. So don't start asking what does these syllables mean, but ask him rather what is the meaning, what is the full message, what is the full counsel that you have released in my life. So we are told that no one speaking by the Spirit of God can say Jesus be accursed. Verse 4 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we are right there in our chapter. It says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 5, there are differences of administration or service, but the same Lord. And then it says, and their diversities of operations, God works in different ways, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. I want us to understand there's a deep teaching in these three verses, which maybe by the grace of God, God will help us understand. It says there are diversities of gifts. That means there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. Now you see, in the church nowadays, there are new moves. There are some things that will happen in the church where either it is the shaking, or people falling under the anointing, or people being healed, or people prophesying unto people, or people, you know, teaching, or different kinds of gifts. So there are unique gifts that God has released for the church, and there are some gifts which he is yet to release in the church. Now let us be certain of that. If someone would have let me give an example of Maria Woodworth Etter. Now this lady, God gave her the grace that as she saw that people would fall under the anointing during her ministration. Now it was something that had not happened before, and she will just, as she will start ministering, then people will come and fall under the anointing and be taken. They will have visions of heaven and fall into trances, and they will be filled with the Spirit of God. And this is something that happened in her life, had never happened in her life before, but it did. Now, what happened is that there are many people who labeled her to be demonic. There are many people who labeled her to be of the devil. There are many even journalists who came, who wanted to discredit it, who wanted to say this was mass hysteria. I mean, as doctors, you will say this is mass hysteria, that people are pretending and all that. But even the journalists that came to write it, they also fell under the anointing. Now, that is anointing, that is a gift that God gave her and has continued to give the church. So even today, there are ministers who God has given the gift of Maria Woodworth Etter, in which they are able to, by the command of the Spirit or by their presence, people fall under the anointing and are able to be led by God. They are able to have visions, and that is just by the gifting of the Spirit. Now, that is more of like a commanding presence of the Spirit of God, and it is a distinct marker that God gives these ministers, and these ministers after the line or after the order of Maria Woodworth Etter in this, and that is a diversity of the Spirit. Now, that as an example, if you see something happening in the church today, then it is important that you weigh it according to the Word of God. So now the first thing that you will need to ask yourself, is this person preaching Christ? Is this person preaching Christ? Is this person preaching Christ? I will say that three times again, because it is very important. When you find that someone is preaching the man of God, preaching themselves, focusing and turning the attention to themselves, then that is a first and clear warning that you are dealing with a dangerous person, and you're dealing with a person who is not, and highly chances that they are not using the gift of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit bears witness of Christ. Jesus says that the Spirit will come and he will testify of me. So whatever giftings that the Holy Spirit gives us or demonstrates or manifestations that he chooses to demonstrate, they are with a special purpose. They are there to demonstrate the Spirit, and they are there to bear witness of Christ. They are there to bear witness of Jesus Christ. So the moment that gifts are given, the moment that gifts are demonstrated and they do not bear witness of Christ, but rather point people towards the person or point people towards themselves, then we lose the focus, and then we become like Balaam, who now turns it for profit. Balaam, yes, he had a gift. He could see in the Spirit. He could see visions. He could communicate oracles. But because he had turned his heart towards being after profit, then he also was under influence of the spirit of divination, which is the spirit of witchcraft. And so there are times where he will transmit from the Spirit of God, and other times he would also transmit from the spirit of divination. And sadly, there are many people and there are many pastors who and prophets and apostles and who and ministers of God who are using a dual incantation, who are using a dual manifestation of the Spirit of God and also of evil spirits or of demonic spirits, because they have run after profit. They have gone after the error of Balaam. They have gone after the doctrine of Balaam. Now you see, someone might start rightly with the Spirit of God. Someone might start on the right path, but if they continue in the wrong path and they are influenced by the evil, by the devil, or they allow themselves to be influenced by the devil, then they can easily find themselves transmitting from demonic sources, because our spiritual antennas are like radio masts. They are transmitters. So whatever source that we connect to, they transmit that. So you can find that if you started right and you then go and consort with the devil and find, look for powers from the devil because you want to be like someone else, then you will easily fall into the trap of the devil. So let us be certain that there are diversities of gifts. We cannot all be the same. God has not called us all to be the same. Not everyone can be an apostle. I know nowadays every pastor wants to be an apostle, or every pastor wants to be a prophet. But no, why is it that no one wants to be a teacher? Yet teaching is one of the fivefold gifts of the Spirit. One of the fivefold offices, teachers. Teachers are needed. We need teachers. And we should have even people who are happy to call themselves, I am a teacher. I am a teacher. And it is important that you know your spiritual gift. So there are diversities. That means there are differences of gifts. Acknowledge your gift, know your gift, and exercise it. Remember yesterday we learned that you must do it, whatever gift, whatever grace as God has given you, do it according to the measure of faith that God has apportioned to you. There is a measure of faith that God gives us. There is a measure of faith that God gives us to administer our gifts. So, there are diversities of gifts. And I've said God is not yet tired, or God has not yet fulfilled the various administrations of gifts that he is yet to even give the church. I tell you, there are things that are yet to come that God is going to do, and people will label it as evil. People who do not understand it will label it as being not of Christ. But I'm saying, have the balance. What is the man preaching? What is this man who is having this unique manifestation? And that is why Jesus, when he did his miracles, they called him that he's doing according to the power of Beelzebub. He's doing it according to the prince of demons. And then he said, blasphemy against the Spirit of God will not be forgiven in this time and also in the age to come. So let us not be quick to blaspheme against the Spirit of God if we do not know, if we have no conviction of this person, if we have no understanding. It is better to take time either to listen or to ignore it and do other things, but do not speak against that which you do not understand just because it does not correspond or align to your doctrine, to your dogma, or to the things that you have been taught or have learned. So that is a warning. Let us know that there are diversities of gifts, but all these different kinds of spiritual gifts are given by the same Holy Spirit. Now remember, gifts are not earned. Gifts are given. Someone gives you a gift, it is given. Now, one thing you need to know is that when a gift is given you, God does not regret giving you the gift, and God does not take it away. He is the Father of lights, with whom there is no shadow of turning. Every good and perfect gift is from above, in whom there is no shadow of turning. God will give people gifts of singing, and even though they turn it and use it for the devil, he will not take it away, and he will not regret why he took it away, why he gave it away. But what he will do is that he will find someone else. Remember Saul. The Bible says that God was grieved in his heart that why he had chosen Saul. But then he said that, I have found a man after my own heart. So when we fail in our administration of the gifts that God has given us, then we find that we are replaced, and God finds others who have his heart. So your gift is important, your gift is good, but your gift should lead you to service, to administration. That is why the second level of the diversity, after the diversities of gifts, is we are told that there are differences of administrations, and there are different kinds of service, but we all serve under the same Lord. So that means you can be given a gift, but it is your choice to exercise it. Have you found gifted musicians, gifted singers, who are not even part of the choir? and they do not even have the time to offer themselves to serve God. Sadly, you can just hear someone in the crowd with such an excellent voice, such a voice that would have been used to reach the nations, but they're happy being not serving God. That's why it tells us there's a second level of the gifts. When you've been given the gift, then you need to put it to administration. You need to put it to service. But you see the difference here. It does not say by the same Spirit, but it says, but there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. The person that serves is one who has understood Christ as their Lord. Who has understood that the gift was that was given to them free of charge was given for service to a Lord. Remember, a Lord is your honor. And this is something that I've kept saying, that there are many Christians who miss that foundation class that says, if you are to be born again, you confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Now, that Lord means that you no longer direct yourself, but you submit yourself to his leadership, to his lordship, to his guidance, to him being in control and in charge of your life. So, the man that recognizes Jesus Christ as Lord then enters and administers their gift into service. So you can see that. So there are those who are gifted of their own, of the Spirit of God, free of charge, without wavering. He gives you, he will not take it away. But it's not just given for you, it is given for the profit of all. Now, the person who understands the purpose of their gift, the person who understands that their gift is to glorify God, then puts it to service. Now, service is a place of administration and is a place of the person that recognizes Jesus Christ as Lord. Then it says, and there are diversities of operations. There are diversities of workings, but it is the same God that worketh all in all. So after you have put your gift to serve, then what God does when you grow in that gift is that he now gives you a methodology. He gives you a way of operation. He gives you a working. He gives you the intricacies of your gift. You can imagine someone who God gives the gift of healing. And he realizes that when he places his hands on people, they get healed. Then he decides, instead of just dying with my gift, let me put it to service. And as he learns service, as he submits himself to the leadership of the Lord, then they put their gift to service. Then after that, now then God gives them a pattern that is unique to them, or that might be similar to others, which is an operation, which is a way of working, which is a methodology, and in which the person can repeat the same success of administration of that gift each and every time is required. And that is where now God works in the different ways in this person through all in all. Now, when you get to that level, you get to the level where now God works in you. You're no longer serving the Lord. Actually, it's not that you stopped serving. You're serving the Lord, but it gets to the point where it's no longer even your will. But now it is God who now works in you. We need to grow from our level of our gifts. We need to get into service. And once we've got into service, then we'll get to the point where now God will now work in us. Then now we move into the operations, into the workings of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells us in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man for the profit of all. It is not given for individual profit. It is for the profit of all. It is for the benefit of the church. Yes, God will bless you through your gift. Yes, God will ensure that you never lack. And indeed, no one who serves God, no one who is gifted in the things of God can ever lack, because in that gift there is potential for prosperity. So prosperity is of God, and God shall prosper his servants. But if we grow sensitive, if we grow into our gifts, we understand our gifts, we exercise them, then we go under the lordship of the Lord. We become servants. We enter into the service of Christ as our Lord. Then it will get to a point where now God will now start to work and operate in us. And that is the highest level, I believe, of the exercise of our gifts. I want to stop there for today. I pray that this has been a blessing to you. I welcome you to share this message. Subscribe on our channel on YouTube, on Facebook, on Telegram. Just search for Spirit and Life, and I believe you shall find more and much more of this there. And please, may God allowing us, join us tomorrow as we shall continue to look at the spiritual gifts. So I pray this has been a blessing to you. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for your teaching today, that you've taught us your word, that you've taught us that we should not be ignorant of spiritual things. I thank you for the word that, Lord, it let it bear fruit. You're teaching us new things each and every day, and we are grateful that indeed you tell us there are diversities of gifts. You've called us, you've given us different gifts according to your own choice, according to your leading, according to your administration. But then beyond that, you've called us to different areas of administration, differences of service. And indeed, I pray that the gifted shall move into service. And I pray for the grace to move into service, into recognition that you are Lord and Savior. And that indeed, beyond that, that we shall move into the another level in which you operate in us, you work in us. And it no longer becomes us that we live, but you that live in us. I pray that your word will bear fruit. I thank you for my viewers. Thank you that, Lord, you shall minister unto them in their points of need, whatever it is that they need, that they shall never lack, because in you there is fullness of joy and mercy and grace and peace. Until we meet again, I pray that you may keep and sustain them. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. So my brother and my sister, it has been a pleasure. May God be with you. Shalom, and the Lord keep you and watch over you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. God bless you.